Romans chapter 15. We have just about completed this book. Romans chapter 15. We're going to read the first 13 verses. Tonight we're going to talk about how to deal with people. Alright? Romans chapter 15. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, beginning in verse 1. It says, "We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples, or bear with the scruples, of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again He says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples.' And again, Isaiah says, 'There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles will hope.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Storm, would you lead us, please, in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Do you know the best thing, one of the greatest blessings apart from Jesus Christ? He is the ultimate blessing. But one of the greatest blessings in church is people. Let's try that again. One of the greatest blessings in church is people. Absolutely. I mean, doesn't it do something for you being among God's people? You know, you come together and you see, smile at one another, and you share with one another and fellowship with one another. It's just good to be a part of the Lord's people. You know one of the biggest drawbacks to church? People. Because you come in and you catch Brother Doug on the wrong day and he says something offensive. Or, well, you know what I mean, right? People are special in a lot of ways. Both good and sometimes not so good. But what we've got to do as children of God, we've got to learn how to deal with people. Okay? And that's what this text is about. It's about dealing with people. And we open there in verse 1 when he says, "Those who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of those who are weak." Now, what we need to decide is to decide where you are. How many strong do we have? Man, that's going to be a load. What does it mean to be strong? It means mature, capable, able. Okay? So, are you able to bear with the weaknesses of others? Can you do that? Okay, we got a few more, but still a pretty big load to be carried. If you're part of the strong, I want you to understand, if you're not part of the strong, you ought to be striving to be part of the strong. We're talking about maturity in the Word of God. We're talking about maturity in relationship with Jesus Christ. And those who are mature or strong should be willing and endeavor to carry those who are not. I like that word weak is an interesting word. It literally means to be crippled, incapable. And so there are those within a church that are capable, and there are those who are not capable. Right? So who are the weak? Well, first thing that comes to my mind, those who grumble, complain, and whine, criticize, murmur. Does that sound like anybody you know? Isn't that what a kid does? Yes. Thank you, Brother Michael. Isn't that what kids do? What are we having for dinner? Mom answers, "Oh, I don't like that." I never did that at my house because I would have not eaten at my house. But anyway, that's a sign of immaturity. Those who are selfish. Isn't that what a kid is? I mean, you look at a baby, and the baby, you have to teach a baby how to share, do you not? They'll grab that toy and say, "Mine." We were keeping our grandbaby, and you understand, she's just as sweet as she can be. And we had a FaceTime call with the other grandbaby that lives in Nashville. And Grammy had bought this nice little table. Who was that of? Anna and Elsa. Disney characters, right? And so she was going to FaceTime, and she bought that for the grandbabies. But little Miss Lila, when she got on FaceTime, she said to Gracie, she said, "Look at my new table." It wasn't for the grandbabies. In her mind, it's for her. Selfish. Oh, now you understand, she's cute when she's selfish. Right? It's a sign of immaturity. We have to teach kids, you know? Those who disobey God. Those who do not have the high moral standard that should be present in the child of God. It's a sign of immaturity. So who are the strong? The strong are those that choose to love you even when you're hard to love. Okay? The strong are those who choose to keep silent even when everything inside them wants to give you a piece of their mind. I'm going to tell you what, you have to be pretty stout sometimes to keep your mouth closed, don't you? That's why James said, "No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, a deadly poison." But here's what's at stake. We look at this congregation this evening. We see a lot of people, a lot of different levels in their relationship with God. Okay? There are some here that, you know, I look at and I'm an outsider looking in. I look at and I think, boy, you know, they've got this God relationship figured out. They're close to the Lord. If I want somebody praying for me, I want that individual praying for me. Do you know anybody like that? And then there are some you look at and you think, well, they got a little ways to go. But I want to tell you why it's so important for the strong to be strong. Because there's too much at stake. Matthew chapter 18 verse 6 says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea." Why do I as a pastor have to be strong and bite my tongue? Why do I as a pastor have to try to not be selfish? Because there's too much at stake. If I run, if I cause an immature believer to leave church and turn away from God, I am accountable. And I can say it wasn't my fault. I had every right to say what I said and do what I did. But you know what God's going to say? He's going to say, "To whom much is given, much shall be required." You know? I mean, it's important that the strong step up And as it said in the text, not to please ourselves, but each is to please his neighbor or to accommodate his neighbor. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. You believe that Jesus was God in the flesh? Absolutely. This is God in the flesh. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now listen, I can whine to you all day about what I've put up with and what I've dealt with through ministry, but I can't come close to what Jesus has done. You know? And so as I read this, I'm reminded, you know, I've got to be one of these strong believers who are willing to carry those who are not quite where I am at this point. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." You know, it's easy to talk the talk, but God expects us to walk the walk, does he not? To be an example. To be strong. And to carry those, even when it's not convenient for us, if that's what it takes to keep them in fellowship. Second thing. How to deal with people. Take the scripture personally. Verse 4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Whatever things were written for our learning. Why do we have the scriptures? The purpose of the scriptures for learning. Instruction, direction, guidance. This is a good book for how to live. You know? You can do all the reading you want to do, but there's not a better reference material than the Word of God. If He created man, and He did, don't you think He should be the author of how man conducts his life? And we say, this is the Word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Do you believe that? Okay. It's good for doctrine, for teaching, for conviction, for correcting faults, for training in what's right. So can we agree on the fact that whenever God's Word says it, God was right? Can we agree on that? So can we agree on, if God said it and it's right, we as God's people have got to put it into practice. Amen. It's not a suggestion book. And as we look here, when we're reminded, listen, if you're a 20-year Christian, you shouldn't act like a baby.
Amen.
Yeah? Matter of fact, just the opposite. You should be the one carrying the babies. I'm reminded of the nursery. We have a nursery. Miss Jackie does a good job in the nursery, keeping those babies. Good job, girl. I'm very proud of you. But I want to tell you what, there's a church nursery. Okay? A church nursery. And it's not that room back there that Miss Jackie's in charge of. It's among the brethren. And it's our responsibility to come alongside these believers. And even though we know that they may not be acting the way we'd expect them to act, even God expect them to act, we as mature believers are supposed to come to their side and show them how to act. You know, does that make sense? That's what it means to carry those who are weak. Jesus said, and I'll go back, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what the greatest commandment that he gave? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What's the second one? You finish. Oh, come on. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. That means you put Brother Ken Worthen before yourself. Amen, Brother Ken. Yeah. Amen. That means you put Brother Don McCaslin before yourself. See, that's where Christianity becomes beautiful. When we begin to know how to deal with people and put the other guy before our own desires. That's what the Word of God says. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:30. I love this. Ephesians 4:30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know how the Holy Spirit of God is grieved? Well, you continue reading. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here it is. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That is the sign of a mature believer, a strong believer, who can, in spite of what he has been, what he has faced, can say, I still love you. Even when they look at you and say, well, I don't love you, well, you just tell them, I love you enough for the both of us. Yeah. That's maturity as a child of God. And anything less, mind you, anything less is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it started, that passage, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve it? Bitterness, wrath, clamor, those childish emotions that take over and control us. Third thing, if you're going to be a strong Christian, you've got to work in harmony. Verse 5 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded. You know what that means? It means reciprocal thinking. All right? My concern is for you, and your concern is for me. And what's my concern? Okay? Here's where it all comes. Here's where it all makes sense, okay? You say, Brother Doug, that means I got to do for everybody else. That's not what we're talking about. Here's the concern. My concern for you is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. It's where are you in your walk with the Lord? And your concern, I hope, for me, is the same concern. Do you know why our teachers study and prepare a Bible lesson every week? It's not for the salary. Yeah. It's because they care where people are spiritually. Okay? That's the goal. Do you know why I study? And you know, I spend a lot of time in my closet these days. That's all right, okay? But do you know why? Because every Sunday morning I have to look at the faces that are here. Every Sunday night I have to look at the faces that are here. And I have to ask myself the question, where are they in their walk with Jesus? That has to be my concern. That has to be the goal of my heart. My desire has to be that every week that I prepare a message, that message serves to bring you closer to Jesus Christ and to mature you a step farther in your relationship with God. If I do anything less, I have done you a tremendous, tremendous disservice. Then we'll, in closing, there in verse 7, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth, to confirm the promises made to the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. And then he makes several Old Testament quotes. What's that all about? He's talking about receiving people. Okay? Accepting people. People who are different races. People who are different nationalities. You know, Jesus came to the world to save the Jews. He did. He came to the world to save the Gentiles. Jesus came to the world, and today, He does not care if you're red, yellow, black, and white. You're precious in His sight, as the little children's song says, you know? And that's how we've got to be, you know? Whether it's a race thing, race doesn't matter. Yeah. Whether it's a likes and a dislike thing, you like one thing, I like another, it doesn't matter. That as children of God, as mature children of God, we've got to be willing to put our arm around everyone that comes through that door and say, I want you to know the Savior that I know. Okay? Here's the question. Are you maturing? I didn't preach this because, you know, and you preach a message like this, somebody said, well, I wonder what's wrong. This is Romans 15. It was next in the series, okay? But it reminds us of our great responsibility. Listen, if you're a child of God, and you've been a child of God for 10, 15, 20 years, and you're not bearing the load of those who are weaker than you, then you need to back up. And ask yourself, why am I not maturing to that level? Sometimes we lose sight. Sometimes, and I'll admit, sometimes we all become selfish and start thinking about ourselves. And then we read Scripture like this and we're reminded why God has put us here. He's put us here to bear one another's burdens. To love one another, even when we're hard to love. To share the love of Christ, not only outside to a lost and dying world, but especially, you know, if we can't share it with one another inside, we're sure not going to get it outside, are we? Yeah. Where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ? Okay? Where are you? Are you strong? Are you ready to carry somebody? I tell you, you know, we've got high school students. No. And you think, well, I'm young. I'm a high school student. I don't have to worry about it. No, you do. Okay? Many of our high school students have been in church all their life. Who are you carrying? Okay? Who are you showing the love of God? College students. Many college students have been there all their life. Been through church all their life. Who are you carrying? And certainly, our adults. You know, sometimes I realize we get kind of, we lose sight in church and we think, you know, well, not really my job. Yes, it is. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, you should be concerned with the relationship that others have with Jesus Christ. That's your goal. You know, I shared with you why I do what I do. But I'm not the only one that should have that mindset. We should all be concerned with where the other is in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you? If not, maybe it's time to back up and take a new look and repent. Be quite honest with you. You know church people need to repent. Even Sunday night people need to repent. Did you know that? Yes, we do. Even preachers need to repent. Let's love the Lord by keeping His commandments. His commandment says we love one another. All right? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you just for the opportunity to examine your word. And Lord, I do rejoice in the love that is present at Victory. But let us not become complacent. Help us tonight to be reminded of our responsibility for one another. That our conduct should be such that we would be encouraging other people to walk with You. Lord, I pray for those in this service who do not know You as their personal Savior, who do not know the joy, the peace, the satisfaction of salvation. I pray that today You will convict them of sin. And I pray You will draw them to You, and I pray they'll respond to Your conviction. Lord, I pray in this invitation, Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.